What we're going to do today is I want to take you through a somatic experience, which means a physical experience of what we're studying, so that we have a better understanding of what it is exactly that we are reviewing here. So I'd like you to get comfortable, just sit quietly and close your eyes, and then let your tongues touch your upper palate and let your breathing relax. As your breathing relaxes, just take a deep breath in and out, and do that three times. Deep breath in, out. Deep breath in, and out. Once you've reached a deep breath in and out three times, allow your breath to just become natural and pay attention to the oxygen coming in through the tip of the nose or on the upper lip or inside the nasal cavity. And as you inhale and you feel it in, you then say to yourself, with this breath in, I calm my body. With this breath out, I calm my body. With this breath in, I calm my body. With this breath out, I calm my body. And then as your body starts to calm down, you can go with this breath in, I calm my mind. With this breath out, I calm my mind. With this breath in, I calm my mind. With this breath out, I calm my mind. And then as you begin to calm your mind, go with this breath in, I calm my feelings. And with this breath out, I calm my feelings. And then just notice how you feel. Notice the level of comfort or discomfort or whatever it is that you're feeling in your body. And notice, is it nice? And I'm asking you to qualify it subjectively. Is it pleasant? Is it comfortable? You don't have to answer, just have to think to your mind what it is that you're feeling. Now I want you to take a deep breath in and hold it. Don't exhale. And hold it as long as you can comfortably. Don't stress yourself, but hold it as long as you can comfortably. When you can hold it no longer, you can go back to breathing. But try to hold it as long as you can without extreme stress. A little stress is okay, but not extreme stress. And once you've reached your limit, exhale and then start to breathe again. And then note how you feel as you're recovering your breath. Note, are you comfortable? Are you not? Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? And then I'd like you to take a deep breath in again. Real deep breath in. And then exhale it all the way out. So everything is out, and hold your breath on the exhale. And hold it for as long as you can without losing consciousness. Don't put yourself into extraordinary stress, but a little stress is okay. When you begin to feel uncomfortable, you can then inhale again. Once you need to inhale, and after your inhalation, then again, notice how your body feels. Any stress, any tension, muscle stress, heartbeat quicken, pressure, perhaps in the head or in the chest, in the throat. And once you've noted that, allow your breathing to come back to normal. And as your breathing returns to normal, just allow your attention to come to the breath as it passes to the inside of the nose or on the upper lip or at the edge of the nostrils. And then as your breathing relaxes even more, at your own pace, take a deep breath in, an exhalation, deep breath in three times, and then allow your breathing to relax, and then you can let your attention come back to where we are now and slowly open your eyes without focusing on anything. How did you feel when you held your breath at the very end before you took your first inhale? Was it comfortable at the very end?
Little stressed.
Did you feel you needed to take a breath?
I didn't like the second exercise where I exhale and had to hold it. I felt panicked.
You felt panicked, okay. And then how did you, yeah, Sam?
I felt my heart racing a little bit more too.
Your heart rate expanded, okay. So normally when we do breathing exercises, we feel very comfortable, right?
Yes.
And we follow a certain pattern that makes us feel comfortable. This time we did some breathing exercises that actually during the exercise led to points that allowed us and caused us to be uncomfortable, even panicked.
But there was, at the same time, there was a comfort level in that.
There was a comfort level in it?
Yes.
How would you define that?
I felt energy flowing through my body.
Oh, that's good. And that's on the inhalation or the exhalation? The hold in or hold out? On both. Good. That's very interesting. I'll address that in a moment. So here we have a very simple exercise that helps us understand in our body, because this, everybody felt it, right? You felt what you felt. Everybody, whatever it was, everybody individually felt what they felt. And what was the difference? The difference was that the conditions were different. Normally, we inhale and exhale at a more relaxed way. We find a comfort zone. We calm the mind. We calm the feelings. We calm the body. And we feel calm. This case, we had a long inhalation and we held it as long as you could. And there's a certain part of discomfort came in. And then release. Then we had a long exhalation and held it as long as we could, and a certain discomfort arose. In Quinn's case, she even felt a bit of panic. And then when you inhaled, that released. That, in a nutshell, is a practical daily example of dependent origination. You change. I see Johnny smirking there. Ah, you didn't get that, huh, Johnny? You like that, huh?
I love that, yeah.
Very good, huh? That right there shows us that as soon as you change the condition, the result, which is dependent on the condition, changes. Do you see? Here we use breathing, and I love breathing. Breathing, which is inherent, integral to our everyday existence, survival. Just by changing the pattern of our breath, the conditions of our breath, we change the results which we receive. Everybody understand?
Yep.
As simple as that. We just stop our breath and suddenly we start to feel, that's different. And we just stop our breath on an inhalation or exhalation. They're both different. As Quinn had two different experiences, but now let's address what Sam experienced. What actually happens when you do stop your breath and you have a good facility in circulation is that your CO2 in the body goes up, carbon dioxide. And when your carbon dioxide goes up in your body, you actually start to heal, which is actually sounds very strange to us because we're being force-fed oxygen, oxygen, oxygen. That it's only when our CO2 levels reach a certain degree that the cells start to release oxygen from our bloodstream. So dependent on CO2 levels in our bloodstream is how much oxygen we'll have access to the cells at our feet, in our hands, in our fingers, in our toes, in our brain. So what happens is either on an inhalation and hold as we use up our oxygen or on an exhalation and hold, as we have no oxygen and the CO2 goes up, it trains our body to start to heal. It's critical to the body to have that CO2, which is why in pranayama, which is the traditional Indian yogic way of training the breathing, we always have an inhale, not always, but usually we have an inhale, hold, exhale, hold. So for example, today I did a pattern of inhale to 3, hold for 6, exhale to 9, hold for 1. Sometimes there's an inhale for 4, hold for 7, exhale for 8, hold for 2. And that can be adjusted. There's a very good app, which I will put on the group if you want to do that, called the Pranayama app. I've had it for years. And recently, a lot of people have discovered it during these lockdown periods of how to practice. And by creating an increase in CO2, our body starts to go through a self-healing process and repair process. In fact, you may have heard of Wim Hof. I think I've mentioned him once in the past. He's very popular. He was on Goop with Gwyneth Paltrow in our show and everything. He does a lot of breathing exercises and breathing training. And I'm doing his breathing every day now. I've been doing it actually for almost 3 months. I really like it in the morning time. And I believe one of the reasons it's so effective is because this CO2 increases. There's another breath trainer called a Russian man called Andrei Buteyko. And he is now passed away in 2007 or so, but he had a whole breathing technique that has actually healed people from serious diseases. And the principle of it is keeping more CO2 in the body. And that's all written up in the book by Nestor, if you're really interested in that. However, for our purposes, what I want you to be aware of and pay attention to, what I'd encourage, is how you change the conditions and suddenly the results change. So simple. Like I'm sitting here right now in front of you. I take a deep breath in and I hold it. And slowly the pressure will build, the pressure will build, the pressure will build until my cheeks feel strong. Right? Then I have to exhale, right? Very related. So now, how do we use this in daily life? What conclusion do we get to? When we did our other breathing exercises, afterwards everybody was remarking at how relaxed they felt and how amazing they felt. And that's the condition, the result you get from that condition of breathing, right? Vis-a-vis rushing to the bus, huffing and puffing. You just get on the bus or the metro line or the taxi, whatever it is you use, and all of a sudden, oh, I just made it. How do you feel? Exhausted and stressed, right? Different breathing, different condition, different result. Now, I'm not trying to focus on breathing here so much. I'm using breathing only as a tool, because that's a tool that you have wherever you go at any time. You can take your breath and work with it any time of the day, anywhere. Okay? But our emphasis today is how we change the ground conditions of our situation, which we change by what we did with our breath, and right away, the result is different. That's as basic as dependent origination is. And that's the fundamental that the Buddha was teaching. When we see this, okay, let's say there's a condition and something originates from that condition or arises from that condition. I'd like to discuss this before we get to the sutta. What does that say about the origin of everything to you? When you hear that, let's say we take that further. If you think about the origin of everything, the origin of the universe, the origin of life, where we're from, if we understand dependent origination, not only understand it intellectually, but you just experience it in your bodies, so you know that there has to be an origin for something to arise. Then when we reflect on where did all things come from, what kind of thoughts does that bring to your mind? Please.
Impermanence of it all.
Impermanence of it all, okay. Go backwards. Go backwards. Try and trace the origin.
Everything is connected to everything.
Everything is connected to everything else? Definitely. What else? Think specifically in terms of the origin. The origin of the Big Bang, the origin of the universe. If everything is dependent on something else to arise, can there be one origin? Can we ever know one origin?
No.
Right? Never, ever. If we accept dependent origination. And the Buddha is not saying accept it on faith. The Buddha is saying test it. Go out in the world, look at flowers, look at your breath, look at your food, look at your digestion, look at your going to the toilet. Are all those things dependent on other things? They don't just happen on their own, do they? You know? If you don't plant the seed, nothing blossoms. If there's no rain, nothing grows. If there's no sun, nothing sprouts. Right? So everything, and I'm just taking a few examples, everything has a cause and effect, and an origin and an arising dependent on that origin. Just like in the sutta, the Buddha refers to a log fire or a grass fire or a dung fire. Everything has to have an origin. So if we accept this, and we don't see any reason not to accept this, because if we look around us, everything is related to that, correct? So for example, mundane. This is called a Wonder Boom. It's a Bluetooth speaker, a very nice Bluetooth speaker, okay? And I believe it was a birthday present to me. So in one way, it was dependent on my birthday that it's right here, right now, isn't it? In a very kind of abstract way. But it's made of rubberized products. Where did that come from? It's made of metal. It's made of magnets, right? Without all those parts. And someone had to design it, right? Someone had to design it. I'll fit it into this little package with an on switch and an off switch and a charging and a battery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So without all of those things, this could not exist. So it has arisen from a conditionality, from an origin of many, many different parts being put together in many different ways, both intellectually, mentally, physically, probably synthetically as well. Okay? So now we go back and we say, if I'm looking for the origin of the universe, will I ever be able to find it? Are you guys all understanding what I'm saying? So the Buddha is not
look for the origin of the universe.
Pardon?
I don't feel the need to look for the origin of the universe.
Aha. And that's exactly what the Buddha is saying. That's why he never got into discussions about it, or whether there's a God or whether there's no God, or whether there's life after death or not life after death. Therefore, we can go down. He's not saying we shouldn't study science. He's not saying we shouldn't go into quantum mechanics and smaller and smaller and smaller. In fact, I would say that the Buddha's teaching is scientific and encouraging us to investigate, investigate, investigate. He's not alive, so he's not saying anything, but my interpretation of the teachings is just encouraging us not to go into investigation with the goal of trying to find an answer, but with the goal of trying to unveil and uncover and unfold. I'll repeat that. Not to go into investigation with the intent to find an answer, but rather to go into investigation with the intent to unfold and unveil and uncover the parts that contribute to the condition from which the arising occurs.